Amen. Amen. Now, I like that word, amen. But it's the last word in the Bible. That means I agree with it. Amen. You're going to practice that in just a little bit. Amen. Now, my wife been worrying about me why I don't have no cuffling for my shirt. And that's when she's been worrying me and telling me about why he don't have no cuffling for his shirt. But what I want to do, now I talk real loud and I talk real fast because I got 17 brothers and sisters. And if you didn't talk loud, you didn't get no food, no clothes, nothing. So I'm not screaming at you as much. It's just my natural tone of voice. But the reason I want to roll my sleeves up, it's time for us to roll up our sleeve, men, and get ready to fight for our families and get ready to defend our family, defend what we believe. It's time to roll up the sleeve. If the men in this world will roll up their sleeve and get ready to fight for their family, we wouldn't have half the problem that we got in America. Do you understand what I'm saying to you this morning? If the men are just doing it, not neglecting the women, but if just the men will roll up the sleeve and say, you know what, this is my house. And Satan, you're not going to have my children. You're not going to have my house. So this is my kingdom. So back off. Do you hear me this morning? Amen. So it's time to roll up your sleeves and get ready to fight. So that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. Are you ready to fight? Say amen. Amen. Now I like that. I like that. You're going to, by the time I get through, you're going to learn how to say that word, amen. So the next time that brother get up in the preacher, you're going to say amen. You're going to shout him out from up here. Amen. Say amen. Now I'm going to share just a little bit about me, then I'm going to tell you what God has laid on my heart. See, I didn't come prepared to preach. I came to listen to what God going to say to me this week. And then when I heard one word when Dick was teaching, it said, talk about redeem. The Redeemer lived, and he lived inside of me. And I want you to see that. And I'm not excited. It's just my natural way of being. Amen. Say amen. See, it's time for people, if you love God, it's time to get excited about God. I'm tired of seeing prune face, sick-looking folk in church. I want to see some person really excited about Jesus Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Excited about going home to be with him one day. Say amen. I love to laugh. When you got 17 brothers and sisters, the greatest thing about my childhood, just 1 minute about this, then I'm going to go and preach. That I had a mother and father prayed every night of my childhood. And they call all 17 children name in order. And every time, I'm number 16 of that 17. And every time she get down to my name, I do like this. I would clog up my ears because I didn't want to hear what she had to say. I wanted to be bad like those kids down the street. But my mama prayed, Lord, you chastise RV. Have RV do what you want to do. I'm right where my mama prayed. It took him 24 years to convince me that this is what you need. And look at me today, 32 years later, I'm still excited about God. I'm still excited about what he's doing in my life. Hear me this morning, church. It's time for the church to get excited about your family, about time to get excited about loving God the way he loved us. He died so we can live. Do you understand me this morning? Hear me this morning. I'm just one crying in the wilderness this morning. Hear me this morning as I get ready to pray. That's all I'm going to talk about R.V. Brown. That's enough. You didn't come to hear about R.V. Brown. You came to hear about my Lord and my Savior. Do you hear me this morning? Say amen. Amen. Let's pray. And I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. And that's where we're going to start this morning. And I'm going to do what God comes. Now, we're going to preach about 3 o'clock today. Amen. So we ain't getting out of church earlier today. Say amen. Somebody asked me, say, you one of them long-winded preachers? No. Because you can't breathe long. You have to breathe real short and to keep going. Amen. Say amen. Let's pray, then we'll get started. Father God, I am your servant. This is your servant, R.V. Brown, checking in with you this morning, Father. I just want to say thank you, Jesus. I just want to say thank you, Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thank you this morning that you saw fit to save a wretch like R.V. Brown, that you saw fit to change a man's direction. You saw fit to change a man so he can serve you, Father. Let him not see R.V. standing here this morning. Let him see a man being changed because my relationship with your son, my relationship with Christ this morning, Father. Let him feel that, Father. Let him feel the power that you have, Father. If they just trust you this morning, Lord, come Holy Spirit, speak, Father. Sit beside every heart, open up the heart, block out the world, Father, and let them hear about your kingdom. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, let every heart say amen. Say amen. In Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, and Isaiah read as this: But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And though through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored and I have loved you. Therefore, I would give men for you and people for you, for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And I say to the north, to the south, do not, good God of mine, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Say amen. Amen. Why did God redeem us? I'm glad you asked me that question this morning. The first thing God redeemed, I want you to put on your notepad, God redeemed us so we can have fellowship with him. Say amen. See, we didn't have no fellowship with God, but God redeemed us. So he said, I call you by your name, RV. From your mama's womb, I call you by name. I redeem you so you can have fellowship with me. I want you to have fellowship. And see, that's what we ought to want to do every single day of your life. You ought to want to have fellowship with God. How do you fellowship with God? I'm glad you asked. Let me show you the first thing you do to fellowship with God. Every morning, you ought to start this way. This is where your fellowship starts. On your knees, praying and say, God, help me this day. Help me to live so you would get the glory out of my life. Do you hear me this morning? Say amen. Hear me this morning. Fellowship with God says in 1 John 1:7. He said, if we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son Jesus Christ cleanses us. And then we go back to the sixth verse, if you walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And his blood of his son Jesus cleanses us from all unright. Fellowship. See, that's the first thing we don't do. We want to stay, we want to do what we want to do. We want to stay out in the world. We want to stay out all night, do what we want to do, and then come to church and say, okay, God, I'm gonna give you 10 minutes and run out the door. No, God wants fellowship with us. Amen. He wants to spend some time with us this morning. Every day you ought to want to spend time with somebody that loves you. You ought to want to spend time with somebody that died on a cross for you so you can live. This is what I'm talking about this morning. So we can have some authority over this world. This is not your home. I'm going home one day to be with my Savior. Why? Because I'm in fellowship with him on a regular basis. Why did he redeem me? So I can have fellowship with him on a regular basis. See, we don't want to fellowship just one day a week. You ought to fellowship 7 days a week with our Lord and Savior. Say amen. Amen. See, we ought to fellowship. We ought to want to be in that fellowship. We ought to want to walk with him every day. For the last 32 years of my life, I've been walking with him. Why? Why did I walk with him? Because he's my Lord. He's my Savior. Why? Because he saved me. November 22nd, 1977, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Look what he's done. Here I am 32 years later. Do I look like I'm sucking on prune face? Do I look like I'm miserable? I serve a God that's alive. I serve a God that's well, and he lives inside of me. That's what I want you to see this morning. That our God is alive, our God is well, and he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's what I'm talking about. That's where the fellowship come in. But see, we don't want a fellowship because it takes something to fellowship. It takes some discipline to want to be with God on a regular basis. Amen? See, I want to be around him. I want to be around good things. I want to be around positive. I'm sick of negative. We got enough negative things in this world to be around. We ought to want to be in the fellowship with God on a regular basis. See, we want to fellowship with God when things go bad. See, when everything is going good, we don't have time for them. When things start falling apart, that's the first thing we want to do is run to it. But God said, come into my arm. See, when I look at God, I look at him sitting there with his lap. And I crawl up in his lap every morning at 5 o'clock. I get up in my father's lap. And I say, hey, Daddy, you know, this is what's going to happen today, Daddy. Will you give me the energy to go on through this day, Lord? And he knocks me every day and say, go do what I called you to do. Live so others can see Christ. Say amen. It's fellowship. And we fellowship with that light. He said, if you walk in the light, as I'm in the light, have fellowship one with another. What does that mean? That means we're supposed to hang around other brothers and sisters. Amen? Say amen. We're supposed to hang around other people. Why? Because if you light up a fireplace and you take one little coal out of that fireplace and put it out by itself, what happens to it? It goes out. But if I pick that same piece of coal up and put it back together, it heats up. So that's me every day. I have to be around people that think like I think because that encouraged me to serve God. That encouraged me to go and love this man called Jesus. Do you hear me this morning? Do you hear me this morning? Slow down. Am I going too fast, Mom? My wife said, yeah, you're going too fast. But see, when you get excited, you can't slow down. Amen. I get excited by talking about Jesus. Amen. How do we fellowship with God? I said already, prayer. Through prayer and studying the word of God. Why is it so hard for us to read this book? Why is it so hard to pick this book up? There's 66 books of truths. And they tell you exactly what you need to do. This is my manna. This is my manna every morning. I don't need enough for tomorrow. I just need enough for today. Because tomorrow ain't even promised to me. If I got enough to... If I eat enough of this today, I'm going to survive till tomorrow. Do you hear me this morning? See, this is where my fellowship, the manna that you need every day is called the word of God. This is the bread of life. If you open this bread up, if you just take one slice of this every day, if you just take one page, that's one slice. Amen. Just one slice. Just eat one slice every day. You don't have to read four and five slices. Just eat one. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Fellowship with God. One day. Number two. I'm going to slow down just a minute. See, we got to build that relationship. Why did God redeem us? Say amen. He redeemed us so we can worship him. Amen. He redeemed us so we can worship him. See, we was on a life of destruction. We were separated from him. But he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die so we can have that fellowship. And then we can worship him. It says in John, the 4th chapter and the 23rd and the 24th verse. It says, now the hour has come for the true worshiper to worship God. Amen. Now the hour has come. This is the hour. We don't have tomorrow. We don't have 6 o'clock this afternoon. We got right now. That's the way I live. Right now I got this much time to serve God. I don't have tomorrow. I don't forget yesterday. Today is the only day I got. Listen to me. Now is the hour come time for the true worshiper to worship God. Now we're going to do something right now. Maybe out a little order, but we're going to do it. In Psalm 134, 2, it says that lift up your hands in the sanctuary and just go and praise God. We're going to do that for just a minute. Put your Bible on the side for just a minute. And I want you to clap your hand. And we're going to lift up our hand. And when you clap your hand like this, I want you to look at Lucifer's face. And every time you slap, I want you to slap Satan upside the head. Every day, just slap him upside. And on three. 1, 2, 3. Let's go. Praise God. Come on. Woo! Praise him. Come on. Praise him. Praise God. Say amen. Come on, keep praising. I didn't say stop. Keep praising. Keep praising. Say amen. Say amen. See, we got to keep praising. Now, we're afraid. We want to praise God. We can go to a ball game, and we can praise God for just a few minutes. But listen to what it says. I'm going to finish that out. Then I'm going to preach. I ain't ready to preach. I ain't start my message yet. Say amen. I'm going to start my message in just a few little minutes. Listen to what it says in John 4, 23 and 24. Are you there with me? Listen, say. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him, God in spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in what? Spirit and in what? Truth. See, we got to build that relationship with him. Once we build that relationship with him, worship him in truth and in spirit. How do you worship him in truth and spirit? By believing and trusting him. Walk with him on a daily basis. See, we got a thing in America and all over the world. It's got a little say WWJD. What does that mean? WWJD. What does that mean? I can't hear you. No, that's not what that means. That WWJD means just walk with Jesus daily. It's a daily walk. It's a daily. It's not too much. It's just a one day time. You got to worship him today. If you wake up in the morning like I did this morning and my wife was sitting there snoring, I looked out the window and said, God, you've given me one more day to serve you, one more day to worship. My Redeemer lived and he lived inside of me. He gave me just one more day to serve him this morning. And that's what it's all about. Worshiping. He redeemed us so we can worship him. As Isaiah 43 says, bring me my sons from the north, from the east, from the west, and from the south. Bring my sons to me. Bring your children. See, what we do, we don't wait till children get old. Bring your children to God early so they'll grow up and be nurtured through the Spirit of God. Amen? So learn how to worship God. See my mama. See, my daddy could not read and write at all. My mother would walk around in the kitchen. She was about 5'2". And me being one of the little babies, I would walk around behind my mama. Because, you know, they didn't have no such thing as going to kindergarten. They didn't have none of that money to go to no kindergarten. So I'm around my mama all the time. What I heard my mama do. While she's cooking in the kitchen, she's just praying. While she's fixing something, she ate a piece of crap, she prayed. I just watched my mama pray all day long. So when my daddy came home, the food was ready for him. Listen to me, mamas. Listen to me, mama. Watch my lips. Cook at home. Cook at home. Amen. So you can do what? So you can have that fellowship time around the table. See, when I was a little kid, sometimes there'd be 13 kids around the table. And my dad had arms on his chair. And my dad would say the grace every day. And I look at my dad, and my eye just about this much above the table. And my greatest prayer when them biscuits was like this, on that end of the table, and it started coming out, the biscuits start going down. And I said, God, don't let them biscuits run out for it to get to me. Woo! Jesus, save me some of them biscuits. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. See what it is? See, I learned how to worship God early, man. This is coming, God. Please don't let them fool around. Because you know what? You want a little baby, you get what's left. See, but see, God didn't give up what was left. God gave his greatest. Amen. He gave his son. Do you hear what I'm saying to you this morning? That's what it's all about this morning. God redeemed us so we can worship him. Say amen. And as we worship him through what? Cheering. And it's exciting. See, he's exciting. I go all over this world preaching. And I go to churches and sometimes nobody say amen. Nobody say praise the Lord. So what I do? I go over to the wall. I say, hey, wall, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Because God said, I'm coming back to get my church. He ain't coming back to get this building. God, this building ain't going nowhere. I'm the church. He said, the groom is coming for the bride. One day, I'm going to be a bride. That's the only day I'm going to put on a dress. That day he show up, I'm going home with him, church. I'm going home to be with him and in fellowship and to worship him on a regular basis. Do you hear me this morning? See, lift up your hand. See, it's all right to praise God. It's all right to clap your hands. We get in church, we want to get quiet. We go watch soccer and football over here, and you cheer all night long. And then you come to church and say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. And you go at the football game. Wow! That's it, but that's a good one. That's a great goalie. Let me tell you something. My Bible said if one person gets saved, every angel in heaven begin to shout. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we came to do. Not to deliver this church, not to deliver all of you, but deliver our Savior, to know who he is, to know that Jesus is the only one. He's the power that we have inside of us. That's what drives me every day. You've got to have a purpose to exist. And my purpose is for young people to know who Jesus is, for mamas and dads to have a relationship with this man called Jesus. Say amen. Amen. Let's move on for number three. Now, I ain't rushing now, but I'm just moving on. Amen. Number three, God redeemed us so we can serve him and others. Say amen. See, Psalms. See, when we want to serve God, as long as we say we can give something to somebody, you know, that's okay. No, just give yourself. God wants to just give ourselves to serve others. How do you serve others? You give up yourself. Lay yourself on the altar sometimes. You know, when I was a kid, we didn't have much. You know what? Pinto beans. And cornbread was a whole meal. I didn't realize that the pinto bean was for protein and the cornbread was carbohydrate. That's what you need to live off of. Amen. And I ate a lot of food like that. And I saw my mom and dad sacrifice so that we would have. Let me tell you something. Christ sacrificed so we can have eternal life, so we can serve others. David says in Psalm 34, 6, David said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his trouble. You want to be a servant of God? Start crying out to him. Trust him and say, God, I need you in my life. See, when God comes in, you begin to cry out for others. Say amen. Blind Bartimaeus in Mark the 10th chapter. Say amen. Mark 10, 46 to 52. And I'm not going to read all. I'm just going to talk about blind Bartimaeus sitting in the city. He hear all this noise coming. All this noise. He grabbed a little ladder. He said, what is all this noise? He said, the Son of David is coming through town. He's coming through town. And then Bob Layman said, Jesus! What, Jesus? They said, shut up, bitch. Don't talk. Don't scream like that. And the Bible said he would scream louder. He got louder. See, when you get saved, people want you to shut your mouth. They don't want you to talk about what you got inside. Just be quiet. See, I got too much to talk about to be quiet. I got a big old mouth. I don't need no microphone. I'm just doing it because you may be recording it. I don't need this microphone to talk about you. Why? Because when God, when you say cry, blind bottom man start crying out louder and louder, he got. And the Bible said Jesus stood still and commanded him, come here, go get him. And he said, I can see Peter. I can see Peter now. He's going to take care of him. And then what happened? He picked blind Bartimaeus up. He brought him to Jesus. And he said, what will you have me to do for you? He said, Lord, I want my sight. He said, I want my sight. See, Jesus told him, it's not me that made your sight come to. It's your faith that made your sight come to. And blind Bartimaeus went skipping down the road. Woo-wee! I can see now. I can see now. See, that's what we ought to do. See, we were all blind at one time. But when we got Jesus Christ, our eyes will open up so we can see. The glory will come in one day. One day, them eastern walls going to open up. One day, the eastern sky's going. One day, he's coming back. Whether you believe it or not, he's coming. Whether you believe it or not. My God is on his way. He says, I want fellowship with you. I want to be in cahoots with you. I want to work with you so you can serve others. Let me ask you something. Last thing you ever did for somebody else? Yeah, I don't know. And buddy, you need to check yourself, amen? My neighbors would leave out of town in Chattanooga. I cut their grass. They come and say, RV, you know who cut the grass? It's some idiot. I tried to pay him, but he wouldn't take no money for it. I didn't tell him I did it. Probably eventually they found out I did. Because God said, love your neighbor as you love yourself, amen? Amen? Isn't that what he said to you? So, Now, in Florida, I ain't cutting nobody grass in Florida yet because it's 110 degrees out. I ain't getting out in the heat. I might babysit for them or do something there. But you learn how to serve others. Learn how to serve others. See, that's what God redeemed. So we can worship him, we can serve him, and then learn how to serve others. See, we don't want to do that. We're selfish. We want everything for ourselves. Just think of Christ wanting everything for himself. I don't need that. What if God said, I don't want you to create no humans? I got enough angels to praise me. But God created Adam. And down through all those generations, look where we are today. Still talking about him. Amen? No other man can call this many people to come to worship him. Amen? From all over the world. Look what we got here. I guarantee we got 10 or more nations or more nations represented in this room this morning. That's what kind of God said. I'm going to bring them from the north, from the east, from the south, and the west. That's what he's talking about. I'm going to bring my sons together. Amen. Say amen. Got to build that relationship if we move on. Number four, I ain't got but seven, so I ain't long. Say amen. God redeem us so that we can testify of his goodness. Now, they didn't know. They sung a song about the Redeemer. This brother got up here and gave his testimony. Amen. See, that's what it's all about. See the person sitting next to me? That's why I like to fly a lot of times. The person sitting next to me, he's going to get saved. He's going to want to jump off that plane. Amen. Say amen. Come on. I'm going to wear him out because he can't get off. He can't get off. So by the time he get where he went, he's going to be so nervous. He's going to be shaking. Why? Because I want him to know that if this plane don't make it, brother, where your soul going to end up? If this plane don't make it, where you're going to end eternity? That's what it's all about. It's eternal. It's in my testimony. In 2 Timothy, say amen. Are you there this morning? 2 Timothy 1:7. And it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. But you know what we do with that? We just wimp, weep it down. We don't want to testify. We don't want to talk about him. Amen? Say amen. 1 Timothy 2 says this. It says, God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And then right on down the next two verses, it says, there's one mediator between man and God, the man Jesus Christ. Say amen. One mediator. One person that can do it all. Then he said, who died and gave himself a ransom to be testified in due time. It's due time. It's time for us to testify. Get on that mountaintop and share it and share it and share it and share it till you go home. I don't know when I'm going to take my last breath. But I told my wife, don't put my name on my tomb. Put on my tomb, he lies a man that loved Jesus. Because if a drunk comes to a funeral, he comes to a funeral staggering around. He don't know what he's like. He's staggering at my tomb and says, he lies a man that loved Jesus. He may get on his knees in the graveyard. Can you imagine? He said, right before he pulled that trigger, he heard something. Can you imagine? You said you were out in the woods, but can you imagine? He's in the middle of the woods. Somebody heard that shot and came to him. And you know what? They was able to get a helicopter. Ain't no helicopter. Jesus came and got him. Amen? Man shooting his face off, and he don't die. And then you see somebody getting a car wreck, a little accident, and they die. But God has something for him to do. He got something for him to do. Just keep doing it, brother. You said, I've been married 3 times. Let me tell you something. It's all right. Because he said you can be married 4 times. Say amen. Because it said, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor. That's 4 times. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. See? So you got one more shot at it, brother. See, I do a little thing like that because I want you to understand. See, God don't make you sad. God don't make you miserable. Why are we as Christians always walking around looking sad? See, when you got Christ inside you, when you got some power inside you, you got church your mind. You can't look sad. What if I walk around looking like that? Praise the Lord, brother. Y'all have a good day in Jesus. No. Who would want to serve a God if God made you that way? Look at me. Look at me. I'm excited about it. I am 200 and none of your business pounds. Praise God. See, inside of me, lives somebody that's stronger than I am. Inside of me lives somebody that changed the direction of my heart, that redeemed me from destruction and gave me some instruction. Amen? You was on a destructive path, but now he's Savior. He puts you on a what? Instructive path to meet him. Say amen. But that's what we got to do. You got to build that relationship with him. And I like Deuteronomy 6:7. My ministry is based on Deuteronomy 6:7. I like that verse. But see, I read the Bible about 3 or 4 times all the way through and still reading it. And it's still as exciting every day. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, "And thou shalt teach them unto thy children diligently, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou get up," man. That's some teaching going on. See, in the old days, they lived in a tent. The whole family sat down together. They got it. We don't eat together. Son over here, daughter over there, wife over there, husband over here, and nobody coming together. That's why Satan can defeat the family so easy. Write this on your notepad. The word family. The word family starts like this. Father, except the mother, influence the life of the young. Father, except the mother, influences the life of the young. Wow. When I go in a prison in America, and there's 500 to 600 teenagers from the ages of 12 to age of 16 years locked away, and 85% of them didn't have no dad. I've written a book called Step Up to the Plate, Dad. I spoke in a prison. And I'm not going to cry right here, because I'm testifying right now. I spoke in a prison. And a young African-American, young man walked to me bigger than I am, made me look small. He said, "Mr. Brown, how old are you?" I said, "I'm 52 years old at that time." He said, "Look at your nose and look at my nose." I said, "I'm going to knock him out talking about how big my nose is." But he said, "Mr. Brown, I've never seen my daddy." He said, "As far as I'm concerned, you could be my daddy, Mr. Brown." I said, "How old are you, son?" He said, "I'm 26. I said, "No, no, no. I've been married 26 years. No, you can't be mine." Amen. So listen to what I'm saying to you. Fathers, it's your duty to share and pray with the children. It is your duty. It is your responsibility, Daddy. It's your responsibility to take the lead. And see, some of you are going to go out here today and let your wife say the grace. You say the grace. Amen? You be the leaders. God called us to lead. Not as dictators with somebody under your feet, but as leaders. Worship leaders in our home. Amen? Because the first congregation your children are going to see is you. It's your household. That's where they're going to learn about God. That's how I learned how to serve God, because I saw my mom and daddy do it. And my mama would be praying for the children. This is what my daddy would be doing. My mother said, "God bless them." My daddy would say, "Go on, Mary, pray for them babies, girl. Just pray, girl." He was my mother's cheerleader. As my mother prayed, he was cheering right beside her. And that, can you imagine a little boy, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, hearing his daddy call his name, hearing his daddy say, "Just bless him, daughter. Just bless my daughters. Bless my son." That's what my daddy was saying. And our Father in heaven said, "I'll bless you if you trust me. I'll bless you if you put your faith in me. I'll bless you if you let you come to me. I'll bless you. I'll give you what you need." Psalm 37:4 said, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and I'll give you the desires of your heart." Look at me, church. What is your desire this morning? Your desire this morning, I want my family saved. See, I'm telling to the family right now. You make sure your wife, your husband, your children safe first. Then you go outside the home. Amen. Take care of the household first. Make sure the household said. It took me 20 years to lead all my brothers and sisters to Christ. They cursed me out. They slammed the door in my face. But I kept going. All my wife, brothers and sisters, I led all them to the Lord. I took care of the family first. Now it's my job to go to the world. Amen? Home is taken care of. Do you hear me this morning? Take care of home. Amen? When you take care of home, God will bless your life. Amen? Say amen. God redeemed us so we can testify. And teach that unto your children. Teach them how to tell. How do you testify? Daddy out of job? You keep praying. Daddy get a job. Daddy get a job. I'm glad y'all got this up. Daddy got a job. Daddy come home. Woo-hoo! We got a job. Daddy, God is blessed. Call the children together and say, "You know, Daddy lost his job 3 or 4 weeks ago. Look what God, now listen, we lost a job making $30,000, but God is giving one making $40,000. And now you start praising God. Now the kids learn how to do what? That if they pray and if they serve God, then they learn that this God will bless their lives too. But they got to see you do it first, Mom and Daddy. And they learn by what they see, not by what they hear. Hug your wife, Daddy. Kiss your wife, Daddy. Kiss your wife. Scared to kiss your wife in front of your children. Why? That's why these young men know how to treat their wife. Because they never see mom and daddy kiss. Uh-oh, getting close now. Amen. All the husbands, hold your wife's hand. Look at some of them. Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? It ought to be safe. Let me tell you something. That's why I say parents, never hit your child with your hand. Because the hand is not made to hit. The man's hand is made to hug and to curdle with. My wife sits there. And my wife always wants me to hold her hand. Why do I have to hold your hand in the car? Why do I have to hold your hand in the mall? Everybody goes, she want to hold my hand. Everybody know you my wife. Why you got to hold your hand? Because let me tell you something, man. It's something about holding. When you dating your wife, when you start holding her hand, she start feeling your power. See, and my wife said, you know what? My daddy never hold my hand. Held my hand, she said, but when I hold your hand, I feel your power. See, she just wanted something real simple. And old knucklehead me being complicated. Amen? And see, when you hold that hand, what did Adam say about Eve? This is now what? Bone of my bone and what? Flesh of my flesh. That's power. Hold a hand, Dad. Hold a hand tight. Hold a hand tight. Now, why I feel the hand? Feel that old big old grip. It might be rusty. It's coins, and I got coins in my hand. It's okay. Any man that don't have coins in the hand, something wrong with you. Amen. Say amen. Well, we can't get no coin in hand because this is what we do today. If you ain't got no coin, go get a hole or a pass both of them and then start using it until you get some coins in your hand. So your hand will feel like you've been at work. Say amen. God is good, isn't he? Number six, or number five, God has redeemed us so we don't have to be ashamed of him. Why are we so ashamed to worship God? Why are we so ashamed to invite somebody to church? See, I invited people to church with me this morning. I've been calling a young man from Ethiopia. I met him in the hotel the other night. I was studying after we left there. Stayed up there a long time talking to him. I invited him. I got his number right here in my pocket. I don't know how to say his name, but y'all can tell me how to say his name. D-E-R-E, capital J-E. That's his name. D-G, whatever that is, that's from Ethiopia. I don't know how to pronounce all them words. Amen. That's probably why God let me finish seminary, because you know what? I can't pronounce. I can't do no Homer letters in Greek and Greek. I can barely speak English. When I was dating my wife, I write her a love letter. She corrected it and sent it back. Now, that's bad. Your wife correct your love letters. That's a crying shame. But it happened, and she's sitting right there to verify it. Amen. That's why I married her. I said, this woman can help me. Amen. God said, I'll make you a suitable help me. That's my help me. He helped me read and write my papers. Amen. Type for me, girl. Go on, type. Amen. God redeemed us so we don't have to be ashamed of him. In Psalms 31, 1 and 2. Listen what it says. Listen what David says. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear unto me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to serve me, to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Good God Almighty. Say amen, church. See, that's what God says. That's what he did. So we have to be ashamed of him. See, when you're ashamed of God, then you have no peace in your life. See, I got peace in my life. I can go to bed at night, amen, and lay down like a little baby. You take them little baby out, you can lay a baby on the floor, it'll sleep. You can lay it on a camel back, it'll sleep. You can put a baby anywhere, it'll sleep. Why? Because it's comfort. When it knows mom and dad are going to take care of it. That's me. I'm comfort because I know my father's going to take care of it. Do you hear me this morning? See, that peace only going to come when you delight in Jesus Christ. Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse says this. It says, delight yourself. Amen. Say amen. Say amen. See, he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. What is your request? I asked you that before. What is your request for your family? What is your request for your life this morning? What is your request? My request is that you live for Jesus. My request is that you live for the Lord and you work on your family. Amen. That's what it said. And the 7th verse says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, able to keep your heart and your mind through R.V. Brown. Isn't that what it says? What did it say? Through who? Through Christ. Peace. See, I got that peace. And you know what? Satan can take everything I got from me, but he cannot steal my peace. He cannot steal my peace. You know what? They said that they diagnosed me with prostate cancer in January. I said, I ain't worried about that. They said, well, if you were 75 years old, 65, we wouldn't even think about it. Look at me. I ain't even worried about it. I told my wife, until you see me say, then you say. But if you don't see me say, don't worry about it, because my trust is in Jesus. My power, my authority over all sickness in Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about this morning. It's all right if you want to clap. Go ahead. It's all right. Go ahead. Give me one clap. Give me one clap this morning. But see, I'm not ashamed of who I am. I'm not ashamed of something that's coming. But you know what? I'm not going to let it steal my peace. I'm not going to let it steal my peace. See, my peace didn't give it to me. Man didn't give it to me. My mom and dad didn't give it to me. But my relationship with Christ gave me the peace and said, you know what? I can go to bed tonight. I can lay down. Hey, the doctors kept saying, they're going to do this, they're going to do this. I said, God, you showed me to the right doctor. And God showed me who going to let take care of me. Amen? And when he takes care of me, I ain't going to even worry about it. See, that's what wrong. How many of us drove a car here this morning? Raise your hand. How many of you rode a bus? Or how many of you drive a bicycle? Raise your hand. A motorcycle. If you put your hand up, you drove a car, put your hand up, leave it up. Put it up high. If you rode a bus, raise your hand. Rode a motorcycle, raise your hand to church this morning. So most of the rest of us walk. So let me tell you something. How many of you know the guy that put the brakes on your car? You personally know him that put the brakes on your car. Why would you trust somebody that you don't even know to make your car stop at 70 miles an hour? Now, why is it so hard for us to put our trust in somebody that died, somebody that rose and said, I'm going to take it? Why is it so hard to let him deliver us? Why is it so hard for us to trust him like I've done? Why is it so hard? We trust that God to make our car stop 80 miles an hour. You expect the car to stop. Then God expects you to trust in him. Do you hear me this morning? Why we got that much faith in a man and we can't put that much faith in God? Say amen, church. I know y'all ain't using nobody loud like that, but I know it. When I leave, it'll calm down. Say amen. But that's what it's all about. Number six, I told you, you got what seven. We're finna get out of here. I'm going to let you out. Number six, God redeemed us so that we can have the confidence for the journey. It's a journey. Life is a journey. Say amen. There's a journey that we have to be on. And as I get ready to close, turn to 1 Peter 5. I like to quote scripture, but I'm going to read something to you too. 1 Peter 5, we get ready to close. Thank you for your testimonies, mother, brother. Your testimony has a lot of power in it, brother. Because somebody here may be struggling with that this morning. Don't you ever stop sharing your testimony. And don't let nobody tell you, well, I've gone too long, and you tell God tell you to shut up, then you shut up. Because the last word you said this morning may be the word that somebody needs to hear this morning. Say amen. We come to church and we get answered with because the preacher preached too long. Why? Say amen. We've been redeemed to have confidence for the journey. Watch what it says in 1 Peter 5, 10 and 11. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, see that? After you suffered a while, after you've gone through something on this journey, you're going to go through something. Amen? Joshua went through something. When God told Joshua, Joshua saw how they treated Moses. In Joshua 1:5, he said, let me tell you something, Joshua. I didn't fail Moses. Neither will I fail you. All your days of your life, Joshua, no man going to be able to stand against you, Joshua. And he said in Joshua 1:8, he said, this is the book of law. Shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night. Then you shall have good success. Then you shall be prosperous. And the ninth verse says, I command thee to be of good courage. I command you to be of good courage. Joshua was afraid because they saw what he did to Moses, but God said, I'll be with you, Joshua. Say amen. And then in the New Testament, he said, well, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Say amen. And you just bind the two together. Say amen. After you suffered a while, watch what he says. I'll make you what? What's the first word? I'll make you what? I can't hear you, church. I'll make you perfect. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? Except we put what? Christ in our lives. Say amen. He said, I'll make you perfect. I'll settle you down, RV. I'll settle you down, RV. You're going crazy right now. Just stand still, RV. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to make you a perfect path. I'm going to take all the roads crooked, and I'm going to make it straight. Say amen. And look what he says next. He said, then I will establish you. I will establish you as a son or a daughter. Now, I'm established. For 32 years, I've been established. Nobody can buy this house. Amen. This is my house. And it ain't for sale. Amen. Say amen. It ain't for sale. Satan can't have this. I've already been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And nobody can change that. Nobody can take that from me. He said, I will establish you. Look what he says next. I will strengthen you. Philippians 4:13 says what? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things. Say amen. And then he said, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. There's something to that. God, see, we don't want to suffer. We don't want to go through anything. When I go back from Genesis, when I go back to Genesis to Malachi, them boys went through something. Then I go from Matthew to Revelation, they went through something. See, we don't want to suffer. We want everything to be a bed of roses. God never told us it's going to be that easy. He said, but I'll never leave you. Not for say, I'll get you through it. When the children of Israel got to the Red Sea, look at me, churches are getting ready to close it. When they got to the Red Sea, and they didn't say, hey, Moses, you brought us out here, and we're going to die. We had more food than Pharaoh's house. We going back. They just were fussing at Moses. And Moses had been in communicating, had a relationship with God. And then Moses told them, idiots, stand still. Stand still. Quit garbling. Quit murmuring. Stand still long enough to see the salvation of the Lord. And this is what, now this ain't in the Bible, this is what I think. When Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. This is what I think happened. I think the Holy Spirit came down and put form in this part of, and I think Jesus Christ laid down like this, and he parted the Red Sea, and he soon began to walk across on his heart. Walk across on his heart. He held the water back. Everybody got crossed. Millions and thousands of them got crossed. In safety. Come to the safety of the ark of God. Come to Jesus this morning. Know who Christ is. When you got him, you got some freedom. You got some power and some peace in your life. And then he got up. And the Pharaoh army came out. Moses said, you see them moving back to chasing you? Today, you will see them no more. When you come to Christ, he said, you don't have to worry about the past. It's under the blood. Amen. Psalm 103:12 says this, as far as east is away from the west, so have I removed all of your transgression. Nothing going to come back. People say, share your testimony before you got saved. I was going to hell. What's worse than that? What's worse than that? I was totally separated from it. Now I got some peace in my life. You can't have it. Amen. Number 7, which I close. And I know y'all ready for me to get off them up here. Well, listen to what it says. And God redeemed us. He said God redeemed us so that we can do what Matthew 7:7 says. Turn to that right there. Turn to Matthew 7:7. This is the real reason why God redeemed us. As we close. In Matthew 7:7. If you can't find Matthew, then you need to go to Vacation Bible School. Amen. What does Matthew 7:7 say? It says ask. Amen. It says ask. Ask. Just ask him. He redeemed, so we can ask him for what we need. Luke 18:1 said, man ought to always to pray and not to faint. Ask through prayer. Ask him. That's what he's telling us to do. Just ask. He redeemed us so we can come to the Father and say, God, I need you. This is what's going on in my life. I need you. When that brother shot his face off, the angels took care and made sure he didn't die. Now look what he got, and look at the testimony that he has today. When somebody looked at him and said, I wonder what happened to him. Did he get hurt in Vietnam? What did he have? Got in some war? No, he said, I did this to myself. But look what God is going to do with it. Amen. Whatever Satan meant for evil, look what God meant for what? Good. Ask him. Don't be afraid to do this right here. See, so many of us are afraid to get right here. Here's the key right here. This is where it all starts right here. When is the last time you've been on your knees? When have your children ever walked in your house? Ever walked in your bedroom and found you on your knees praying? Have your children, daddy, hey, daddy, have your children ever heard you pray? Have your children ever seen you pray, daddy? Have your children ever seen you take a stand, daddy? Have your children ever seen you get rest first and say, everybody going to church? Have your children ever seen you, daddy, say, you know what? This house, we're going to serve God. Amen. In Joshua 24:15 says what? As choose who you want to serve today. You want to serve the God of Amalek? Across on the other side of the flood. Listen to what Joshua said. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve R.V. Brown. Isn't that what it said? He said, we're going to serve the Lord in my house. If men would just take that kind of stand, if the men of this world, of this nation that where we are now, would just take that kind of stand, we will see a change. But until the men rise up, we got to do it. Malachi 4:6 says, I'm going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. Lest I come and smite the earth with a children. Look what I'm talking about. He said, I'm going to turn the hearts of the father, heart of the children. He didn't say nothing about the women because the women's hearts are always bent to their children. He said, I'm going to turn your heart home, Daddy. As I come and smack you with a cut. Look at what we're going through today. Why? Because our hearts, men's hearts are not there. Say amen. The next one, it says, seek and you shall find. Seek, ask, and then seek. How do you seek God? Right here. Here it is. Call on him while he's near. How do you call on God? On your knees. On your face. You see, in America, we don't do that. You know why we don't do that? You know why a lot of us in America and across the other nations got a little bit of money? You know what? Because we go to the refrigerator and we say food. Amen? So we don't have to pray. When me and my wife got married, had a little refrigerator about this wide, about this high. I opened the refrigerator and I said, food, it said. Food, 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 food. Echo, there was nothing in there. Food is there. Hello, 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 hello. But see, when God puts something in there, do we give him the credit for it? Are we willing to seek him? Matthew 6:33 said, well, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his right, and all things will be added unto you. Everything will be added unto you. Amen. Here's the key. It says, ask, seek, and then the third one says, well, knock. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's God knocking. He never have opened the door himself. You have to open the door. He said, then you open up your heart, I will come and dine with you, and you will sit with me. That's what I want to do. I want to sit with him one day. I want to sit with him one day, and nothing on this world can stop me from doing that. Do you hear me this morning, church? Let me show you something, church. You know God, as your person say, watch this. I have a mirror. I have a mirror. What are we reflecting to those people around us? Well, can they see the light of God inside of us? I'm trying to get right and get in your face. See? I'll get it in just a minute. I'm not working on it. Right in your face, brother. Right in your face. Well, let me tell you something, brother. Look at me, brother. On your job, can somebody see the reflection of God in your life? On in your family. Can your children see the reflection of God? Can this community that we're in today, can the country or the state that you're living in back in America, can they see the reflection of God? Can they see God in your mind, in your eye? Can they see God in you? David says in Psalm 17:8, Lord, keep me the apple of your eye. Good God Almighty, keep me the apple. All the way he's saying, God, I want you to keep your eye right on me. Let me tell you what. What are we reflecting? What do people see? What do they see? Misery? Or do they always see bad? I don't know what we're going to do. How we're going to make it. Can we see some joy? Look at me, church. Are you reflecting the love of God? Can somebody see it? Do anybody want to be around you? Do anybody want to hang out with you? The Holy Spirit ought to be in you. It ought to be dripping off of you. You ought to be, every time you walk, you ought to be dropping Holy Spirit and spiritual nuggets. Y'all go to McDonald's and eat nuggets? And eat some spiritual nuggets every day. It's called verses in the Bible. Those are little spiritual nuggets every day. Amen? What are you reflecting to this sick world that we live in? What are you reflecting? Can they see Christ in you? Can they see Christ? Are you letting this world put your light out? You let this world put your light out. What David says, Psalm 119, 105 says this, thy word is a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. So God lit my path 32 years ago, and guess what he can't do? Satan can't put this lamp out. We don't have to worry about no oil. It ain't running about olive oil or Crisco oil, no other kind of oil. It's running about the Holy Spirit. And guess what? Nobody can put this fire out. Why? Because it ain't made by man. Man can't put it out. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. This is it. This is it. Come here a minute, son. That's your wife next to you? Bring her with you. Bring your wife with you. Watch this. I'm closing. I promise you. We're closing. Come on. Oh, she's murmuring. Come on up here. Get up here. Quit murmuring. Get up here. What's your name?
Joe.
Joe? Give me a hand, Joe. All right, Joe. What's your name?
Jordash.
What is it?
Jordash.
Jordash. Jordash and Joe. Now, in Matthew 7:21, what does it say? Everybody, Jesus, they're going to say to me, hey, Lord, Lord. Everybody say, Lord, Lord, is not going to enter into my kingdom, God. Only those that do the will of my Father. Amen. Watch me, church. You don't remember nothing that you've seen me or heard me say today. you watch what I'm getting ready to do. Matthew 7:22 says this. He said, they would say to me, hey, God. And one Bible said, they cast out demons. We heal in your name. We prophesy in your name. We did all this marvelous work for you. All kind of things they said to you. They said all this great stuff for you, Jesus. We did it for you, Jesus. And watch what he said in the 23rd verse. He said, then I will profess unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Watch this, church. Now, first thing we got here, this is a reverse Oreo. Amen? Most people don't know what Oreos are. Amen? This is a reverse one. Now, Georgette, listen to me.
Jordash.
Yeah. Jordash. Why you let me get between you and your wife so easy like this?
Because you wanted to be there.
No, what you should have said was that. Why you want to hold my wife's hand, boy? See, you should have said, get out between me and my wife. I, get away from that mic.
You want me to talk? You want to talk? What do you want to do? Come on, man. What do you want, man? What do you want? I'm not sure what you want.
Come on, I'm going to show you what I want.
If you don't want me to respond to your questions, then don't ask me questions. You don't want me to respond to your questions?
Yeah, but listen. That's what's all right. Come on. This is part of it. See, now I like that. See, that brother ready to fight this morning. Amen. See, if I kept going with you. Now hold your wife's hand. Hold your wife's hand. You can do that now. Can you imagine, family, that you're going in here and you see your children stand before God, and they stand before God, and God called out all the names. Yeah. Son, your name doesn't appear in here. Depart from me, I don't know you. Can you imagine your daughter standing before God? Can you imagine your son, your wife standing before God? They don't know God. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God told the book of life. Can you imagine your family, your daughter standing before God? He's walking by on his way. I don't be separated from God. And he said, Daddy and Mama, why y'all witness to me? Why y'all didn't tell me, Daddy? Why y'all didn't tell me I needed a relationship with God? Why y'all didn't tell me? Can you imagine your son be separated from you for eternity? Why? Because we didn't take the time to talk about Christ. We didn't take the time to tell you need to put your name in this book. How do you get it in there? By accepting Christ as your Lord. So the book don't close on you at the last minute. Can you imagine? Every one of us will stand before Christ. He'll open up that book. He'll start calling names. Your name doesn't appear. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I told you. Can you imagine God tell your daughter, goodbye, the only way to heaven? He might tell your son, goodbye. No, I don't know him. Depart from me. Good God Almighty. Can you imagine that you raise your children and they say, oh, Dad, I don't need that. I'll get it later. And have an accident and lose their life. And they stand before God. And God called out the name. And then end up appearing in that book. God close my heart. So I said, pardon me, come down. Can you imagine that? I want you to close your eyes with me right now. Let's be close. Let's go. Right here. Thank you. Close your eyes as we close. Right now. There may be someone in here this morning that said, Lord, I heard what the preacher said, but I got time. I got time. God says, no, take no thought for tomorrow, because it got enough trouble for itself. Today is a settled day to believe in me. Trust me today. Can you imagine you live your whole life and stand before God and he called out all the names? Who will enter into heaven? Call y'all. Doesn't call your name. He just closed a book on your family, Dad. He just closed a book on your daughter. He just closed a book on your son. Why the breath is in and out of your oxygen, in and out of your lungs, while the blood run warm in your veins this morning. You don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ.
Responsibility, man. It's your responsibility.